You're listening to a Glassbox Media podcast. Before we begin today's episode, you're about to hear from our sponsors. Sponsors make it possible for this show to continue. That said, we recognize that some listeners will prefer to get rid of sponsorship messages and advertisements. If that's you, please consider signing up for the ad-free version of this show. Head on over to icantsleep.supportingcast.fm to sign up and listen on your podcast player of choice. Use code SLEEP for 1 free month of the subscription. And now, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax. The way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
Welcome to the I Can't Sleep podcast, where I read random articles from across the web to bore you to sleep with my soothing voice. I'm your host, Benjamin Boster. Today's episode is from a Wikipedia article titled, Beard. A beard is the hair that grows on the jaw, chin, upper lip, lower lip, cheeks, and neck of humans and some non-human animals. In humans, usually pubescent or adult males are able to start growing beards, on average at the age of 21. Throughout the course of history, societal attitudes toward male beards have varied widely, depending on factors such as prevailing cultural religious traditions and the current era's fashion trends. Some religions, such as some sects of Islam and Sikhism, have considered a full beard to be essential and mandated as part of their observance. Other cultures, even while not officially mandating it, view a beard as central to a man's virility, exemplifying such virtues as wisdom, strength, sexual prowess, and high social status. In cultures where facial hair is uncommon or currently out of fashion, beards may be associated with poor hygiene or an unconventional demeanor. In countries with colder climates, beards help protect their wearer's face from the elements. Beards also provide sun protection. The beard develops during puberty. Beard growth is linked to stimulation of hair follicles in the area by dihydrotestosterone, which continues to affect beard growth after puberty. Dihydrotestosterone also promotes balding. It is produced from testosterone, the levels of which vary with season. Beard growth rate is also genetic. Biologists characterize beards as a secondary sexual characteristic because they are unique to one sex, yet do not play a direct role in reproduction. Charles Darwin first suggested a possible evolutionary explanation of beards in his work, The Descent of Man, which hypothesized that the process of sexual selection may have led to beards. Modern biologists have reaffirmed the role of sexual selection in the evolution of beards, concluding that there is evidence that a majority of women find men with beards more attractive than men without beards. Evolutionary psychology explanations for the existence of beards include signaling sexual maturity and signaling dominance by the increasing perceived size of jaws. Clean-shaved faces are rated less dominant than bearded. Some scholars assert that it is not yet established whether the sexual selection leading to beards is rooted in attractiveness, intersexual selection, or dominance, intrasexual selection. A beard can be explained as an indicator of a male's overall condition. The rate of facial hairiness appears to influence male attractiveness. The presence of a beard makes the male vulnerable in hand-to-hand fights. It provides an easy way to grab and hold the opponent's head, which is costly, so biologists have speculated that there must be other evolutionary benefits that outweigh that drawback. Excess testosterone evidenced by the beard may indicate mild immunosuppression, which may support spermatogenesis. Beard hair is most commonly removed by shaving or by trimming with the use of a beard trimmer. If only the area above the upper lip is left unshaven, the resulting facial hairstyle is known as a mustache. If hair is left only on the chin, the style is a goatee. Full, downward flowing beard with either a styled or integrated mustache. Garibaldi, wide, full beard with rounded bottom and integrated mustache. Old Dutch, a large, long beard connected by sideburns that flares outward in width at the bottom without a mustache. Sideburns, hair grown from the temples down the cheeks toward the jawline, worn by Ambrose Burnside, the namesake of the style, Isaac Asimov, and Carlos Menem. Jawline beard, a beard that is grown from the chin along the jawline. Chin strap, chin curtain, and brett are all variations of a jawline beard, with distinctions being chin coverage and sideburn length. Chin strap, a beard with long sideburns that comes forward and ends under the chin. Chin curtain, similar to the chin strap beard but covers the entire chin, also called a Lincoln, Shenandoah, or Spade. Brett, similar to the chin curtain beard but does not connect to the sideburns. Neck beard, similar to the chin strap but with the chin and jawline shaven, leaving hair to grow only on the neck. While never as popular as the other beard styles, a few noted historical figures have worn this type of beard, such as Nero, Horace Greeley, Henry David Thoreau, William Empson, Peter Cooper, Moses Mendelssohn, Richard Wagner, and Michael Costa. Circle beard, commonly mistaken for the goatee. The circle beard is a small chin beard that connects around the mouth to a mustache, also called a door knocker. Designer stubble, a short growth of the male beard that was popular in the West in the 1980s and experienced a resurgence in popularity in the 2010s. Sea captain, a rounded, bottom-heavy beard of medium length with short sides that is often paired with a longer mustache. Goatee, a tuft of hair grown on the chin, sometimes resembling a billy goat's. Junco, a goatee that extends upward and connects to the corners of the mouth, but does not include a mustache like the circle beard. Meg, a goatee that extends upward and connects to the mustache. This word is commonly used in the southeast of Ireland. Van Dyke, a goatee accompanied by a mustache. Monkey tail, a Van Dyke as viewed from one side, and a Lincoln plus mustache as viewed from the other, giving the impression that a monkey's tail stretches from an ear down to the chin and around one's mouth. Hollywoodian, a beard with an integrated mustache that is worn on the lower part of the chin and jaw area without connecting sideburns. Reed, a beard with an integrated mustache that is worn on the lower part of the chin and jaw area that tapers towards the ears without connecting sideburns. Royale, a narrow pointed beard extending from the chin. This style was popular in France during the period of the Second Empire, from which it gets its alternative name, the imperial or imperial. Verdi, a short beard with a rounded bottom and slightly shaven cheeks with a prominent mustache. Muslim beard, full beard with the mustache trimmed. Soul patch, a small beard just below the lower lip and above the chin. Glitter beard, beard dipped in glitter. Hulahi, clean-shaven chin with fat chops connected at the mustache. Friendly mutton chops, long mutton chop-type sideburns connected to a mustache, but with a shaved chin and neck. Stash burns, or the lemmy, sideburns that drop down the jaw but jut upwards across the mustache, leaving the chin exposed, similar to friendly mutton chops. Often found in southern and southwestern American culture. See, for example, the Yosemite Sam caricature. Closed or tied beard. Mostly seen among modern Sikh youth, this is a kind of full beard tied by using a sticky liquid or gel and stiffens below the chin. Oakley beard. Described by Indian makeup artist Banu as neither a French beard nor a full beard. She used the look for Ranjinikanth in Interan, 2010. For appearance and cleanliness, some people maintain their beards by exfoliating the skin, using soap or shampoo, and sometimes conditioner, and afterward applying oils for softness. Ancient and classical world, Lebanon. Phoenicia, the ancient Semitic civilization centered on the coastline of what is today Lebanon, gave great attention to the hair and beard. It was arranged in 3, 4, or 5 rows of small tight curls and extended from ear to ear around the cheeks and chin. Sometimes, however, in lieu of the many rows, we find one row only, the beard falling in tresses curled at the extremity. There is no indication of the Phoenicians having cultivated mustachios. Israelites. Israelite society placed a special importance on the beard. Many male religious figures mentioned in the Tanakh are recorded to have had facial hair. According to biblical scholars, the shaving of hair, particularly of the corners of the beard, was a mourning custom. The religious cultivation of beards by Israelites may have been done as a deliberate attempt to distinguish their behavior in comparison to their neighbors, reducing the impact of foreign customs and religion as a result. The Hittites and Elamites were clean-shaven, and the Sumerians were also frequently without a beard. Conversely, the Egyptians and Libyans shaved the beard into very stylized, elongated goatees. Mesopotamia. Mesopotamian civilizations, Sumerian, Assyrians, Babylonians, Chaldeans, and Medians, devoted great care to oiling and dressing their beards, using tongs and curling irons to create elaborate ringlets and tiered patterns. Egypt. The highest-ranking ancient Egyptians grew hair on their chins, which was often dyed a reddish-orange with henna, and sometimes plated with an interwoven gold thread. A metal small beard, or postiche, which was a sign of sovereignty, was worn by queens and kings. This was held in place by a ribbon tied over the head and attached to a gold chin strap, a fashion existing from about 3000 to 1580 BCE. Greece. The ancient Greeks regarded the beard as a badge or sign of virility. In the Homeric epics, it had almost sanctified significance, so that a common form of entreaty was to touch the beard of the person addressed. According to William Smith, in these ancient times, the mustache was shaven, leaving clear the space around the lips. It was only shaven as a sign of mourning, though in this case it was instead often left untrimmed. A smooth face was regarded as a sign of effeminacy. The Spartans punished cowards by shaving off a portion of their beards. Greek beards were also frequently curled with tongs. Youngsters usually did not grow a beard, Moreover, wearing a beard became optional for adults in the 5th and 4th century BCE. Rome. Shaving seems to have not been known to the Romans during their early history under the kings of Rome and the early Republic. Pliny tells us that P. Ticinius was the first who brought a barber to Rome, which was in the 454th year from the founding of the city, that is, around 299 BCE. Scipio Africanus, 236 to 183 BCE, was apparently the first among the Romans who shaved his beard. However, after that point, shaving seemed to have caught on very quickly, and soon almost all Roman men were clean-shaven. Being clean-shaven became a sign of being Roman and not Greek. Only in the later times of the Republic did the Roman youth begin shaving their beards only partially, trimming it into an ornamental form. Prepubescent boys oiled their chins in hopes of forcing premature growth of a beard. Still, beards remained rare among Romans throughout the late Republic and the early Principate. In a general way in Rome at this time, a long beard was considered a mark of slovenliness and squalor. The censors L. Veturius and P. Licinius compelled M. Livius, who had been banished on his restoration to the city, to be shaved, to lay aside his dirty appearance, and then, but not until then, to come into the Senate. The first occasion of shaving was regarded as the beginning of manhood, and the day on which this took place was celebrated as a festival. Usually this was done when the young Roman assumed the toga virilis. Augustus did it in his 24th year, Caligula in his 20th. The hair cut off on such occasions was consecrated to a god. Thus, Nero put his into a golden box set with pearls and dedicated it to Jupiter Capitolinus. The Romans, unlike the Greeks, let their beards grow in time of mourning. So did Augustus for the death of Julius Caesar. Other occasions of mourning on which the beard was allowed to grow were appearance as a reus, condemnation, or some public calamity. On the other hand, men of the country areas around Rome in the time of Varro seem not to have shaved except when they came to market every 8th day, so that their usual appearance was most likely a short stubble. In the 2nd century CE, the Emperor Hadrian, according to Dio Cassius, was the first emperor to grow a full beard. Plutarch says that he did it to hide scars on his face. This was a period in Rome of widespread imitation of Greek culture, and many other men grew beards in imitation of Hadrian and the Greek fashion. Until the time of Constantine the Great, all adult emperors appeared in busts and coins with beards. But Constantine and his successors until the reign of Phocas, with the exception of Julian the Apostate, are represented as beardless. The philosopher's beard. In Greco-Roman antiquity, the beard was seen as the defining characteristic of the philosopher. Philosophers had to have beards, and anyone with a beard was assumed to be a philosopher. While one may be tempted to think that Socrates and Plato sported philosophers' beards, such is not the case. Shaving was not widespread in Athens during 5th and 4th century BCE, and so they would not be distinguished from the general populace for having a beard. The popularity of shaving did not rise in the region until the example of Alexander the Great near the end of the 4th century BCE. The popularity of shaving did not spread to Rome until the end of the 3rd century BCE, following its acceptance by Scipio Africanus. In Rome, shaving's popularity grew to the point that for a respectable Roman citizen, it was seen almost as compulsory. The idea of the philosopher's beard gained traction when, in 155 BCE, three philosophers arrived in Rome as Greek diplomats. Carneades, head of the Platonic Academy, Critolaus of Aristotle's Lyceum, and the head of the Stoics, Diogenes of Babylon. In contrast to their beautifully clean-shaven Italian audience, these three intellectuals all sported magnificent beards. Thus, the connection of beards and philosophy caught hold of the Roman public imagination. The importance of the beard to Roman philosophers is best seen by the extreme value that the Stoic philosopher Epictetus placed on it. As historian John Sellars puts it, Epictetus affirmed the philosopher's beard as something almost sacred, to express the idea that philosophy is no mere intellectual hobby, but rather a way of life that, by definition, transforms every aspect of one's behavior, including one's shaving habits. If someone continues to shave in order to look the part of a respectable Roman citizen, it is clear that they have not yet embraced philosophy conceived as a way of life and have not yet escaped the social customs of the majority. The true philosopher will only act according to reason or according to nature, rejecting the arbitrary conventions that guide the behavior of everyone else. Epictetus saw his beard as an integral part of his identity and held that he would rather be executed than submit to any force demanding he remove it. In his Discourses 1.2.29, he puts forward such a hypothetical confrontation. "Come now, Epictetus, shave your beard." "If I am a philosopher," I answer, "I will not shave it off." "Then I will have you beheaded." "If it will do you any good, behead me." The act of shaving would be to compromise his philosophical ideal of living in accordance with nature, and it would be to submit to the unjustified authority of another. This was not theoretical in the age of Epictetus, for the emperor Domitian had the hair and beard forcibly shaven off of the philosopher Apollonius of Tyana as punishment for anti-state activities. This disgraced Apollonius while avoiding making him a martyr like Socrates. Well before his declaration of death before shaving, Epictetus had been forced to flee Rome when Domitian banished all philosophers from Italy under threat of execution. Roman philosophers sported different styles of beards to distinguish which school they belonged to. Cynics with long, dirty beards to indicate their strict indifference to all external goods and social customs. Stoics occasionally trimming and washing their beards in accordance with their view that it is acceptable to prefer certain external goods so long as they are never valued above virtue. Peripatetics took great care of their beards, believing in accordance with Aristotle that external goods and social status were necessary for the good life together with virtue. To a Roman philosopher in this era, having a beard and its condition indicated their commitment to live in accordance with their philosophy. Celts and Germanic tribes. Late Hellenistic sculptures of Celts portrayed them with long hair and mustaches but beardless. Caesar reported the Britons wore no beard except upon the upper lip. The Anglo-Saxons on arrival in Great Britain wore beards and continued to do so for considerable time after. Among the Gaelic Celts of Scotland and Ireland, men typically let their facial hair grow into a full beard, and it was often seen as dishonorable for a Gaelic man to have no facial hair. Tacitus states that among the Catti, a Germanic tribe, perhaps the Chatten, a young man was not allowed to shave or cut his hair until he had slain an enemy. The Lombards derived their name from the great length of their beards, Longobards, long beards. When Otto the Great said anything serious, he swore by his beard, which covered his breast. Middle Ages. In medieval Europe, a beard displayed a knight's virility and honor. The Castilian knight, El Cid, is described in The Lay of the Cid as the one with the flowery beard. Holding somebody else's beard was a serious offense that had to be righted in a duel. The punishment for pulling off someone else's beard was the same as for castrating him. While most noblemen and knights were bearded, the Catholic clergy were generally required to be clean-shaven. This was understood as a symbol of their celibacy. In pre-Islamic Arabia, Arabian men would apparently shorten their beards and keep big mustachios. Muhammad encouraged his followers to do the opposite, to grow their beards and trim their mustaches, to differ with the non-believers. This style of beard subsequently spread along with Islam during the Muslim expansion in the Middle Ages. From the Renaissance to the present day, most Chinese emperors of the Ming Dynasty appear with beards or mustaches in portraits. In the 15th century, most European men in both the church and the nobility were clean-shaven. In the 16th century, beards became fashionable, particularly following the Reformation, where many rulers, nobles, and religious reformers grew long beards to distinguish themselves from the usually clean-shaven Catholic clergy. By the mid-16th century, most Catholic clergy also adopted beards. Every pope from Clement VII to Innocent XII would also sport facial hair. Some other beards of this time were the Spanish spade beard, the English square-cut beard, the forked beard, and the stiletto beard. In 1587, Francis Drake claimed in a figure of speech to have singed the King of Spain's beard. During the Chinese Qing Dynasty, the ruling Manchu minority were either clean-shaven or at most wore mustaches, in contrast to the Han majority, who still wore beards in keeping with the Confucian ideal. In the beginning of the 17th century, the size of beards decreased in urban circles of Western Europe, with the shape also becoming more pointed. By the middle of the century, men usually wore a mustache or a pointed goatee. In the later part of the century, being clean-shaven gradually became more common again amongst the upper classes, so much so that in 1698, Peter the Great of Russia ordered men to shave off their beards, and in 1705 levied a tax on beards in order to bring Russian society more in line with the contemporary Western Europe. Throughout the 18th century, essentially all upper-class and most middle-class European men would be clean-shaven. At the end of the 18th century, after the French Revolution, attitudes began to turn away from upper-class fashions of the previous century, particularly among the lower classes. During the early 19th century, most men, particularly amongst the nobility and upper classes, went clean-shaven. However, the shifts which had begun during the revolutionary period began to creep their way into first the middle and then the upper classes, and this included the gradual return of facial hair. This is seen in the 1810s and 1820s, with many men adopting sideburns or side whiskers, which gradually grew in size in the ensuing decades. Facial hair also became more common amongst Western armies during this period, with the regimental mustache becoming a common association with the soldiers of the time. This was followed by a dramatic shift in the beard's popularity following the Crimean War during the 1850s, with it becoming markedly more popular. Consequently, beards were adopted by many leaders, such as Alexander III of Russia, Napoleon III of France, and Frederick III of Germany, as well as many leading statesmen and cultural figures, such as Benjamin Disraeli, Charles Dickens, Giuseppe Garibaldi, Karl Marx, and Giuseppe Verdi. This trend can be recognized in the United States of America, where the shift can be seen amongst the post-Civil War presidents. Before Abraham Lincoln, no president had a beard. After Lincoln, until Woodrow Wilson, every president except Andrew Johnson and William McKinley had either a beard or a mustache. The beard became linked in this period with notions of masculinity and male courage. The resulting popularity had contributed to the stereotypical Victorian male figure in the popular mind, the stern figure clothed in black whose gravitas is added to by a heavy beard. In China, the Revolution of 1911 and subsequent May 4th movement of 1919 led the Chinese to idealize the West as more modern and progressive than themselves. This included the realm of fashion, and Chinese men began shaving their faces and cutting their hair short. By the early 20th century, beards began a slow decline in popularity. Although retained by some prominent figures who were young men in the Victorian period, like Sigmund Freud, Most men who retained facial hair during the 1920s and 1930s limited themselves to a mustache or a goatee, such as with Marcel Proust, Albert Einstein, Vladimir Lenin, Leon Trotsky, Adolf Hitler, and Joseph Stalin. In the United States, meanwhile, popular movies portrayed heroes with clean-shaven faces and crew cuts. Concurrently, the psychological mass marketing of Edward Bernays and Madison Avenue was becoming prevalent. The Gillette Safety Razor Company was one of these marketers' early clients. These events conspired to popularize short hair and clean-shaven faces as the only acceptable style for decades to come. The few men who wore the beard or portions of the beard during this period were usually either old, Central European, members of a religious sect that required it, or in academia. This case of affairs would last all the way until the mid to late 1960s. The beard was reintroduced to mainstream society by the counterculture, firstly with the beatniks in the 1950s, and then with the hippie movement of the mid-1960s. Following the Vietnam War, facial hair exploded in popularity. In the mid-late 1960s and throughout the 1970s, beards were worn by hippies and businessmen alike. Popular musicians like the Beatles, Barry White, the Beach Boys, Jim Morrison, lead singer of the Doors, and the main members of Peter, Paul, and Mary, among many others, wore full beards or mustaches. The trend of seemingly ubiquitous facial hair in American culture subsided by the beginning of the 1980s. By the end of the 20th century, the closely clipped Verdi beard, often with a matching integrated mustache, had become relatively common. From the 1990s onward, fashion in the United States has generally trended toward either a goatee, Van Dyke, or a closely cropped full beard undercut on the throat. By 2010, the fashionable lengths approached a two-day shadow. The 2010s decade also saw the full beard become fashionable again amongst young hipster men, and a huge increase in the sales of male grooming products. One stratum of American society where facial hair was long rare is in government and politics. The last president of the United States to wear any type of facial hair was William Howard Taft, who was in office from 1909 to 1913. The last vice president of the United States to wear any facial hair was Charles Curtis, who was in office from 1929 to 1933. Both of whom wore mustaches, but the last president of the United States to wear a beard was Benjamin Harrison, who was in office from 1889 to 1893. The last member of the United States Supreme Court with a full beard was Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes, who served on the court until 1941. Since 2015, a growing number of male political figures have worn beards in office, including Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and Senators Ted Cruz and Tom Cotton. Beards also play an important role in some religions. In Greek mythology and art, Zeus and Poseidon are always portrayed with beards, but Apollo never is. A bearded Hermes was replaced with the more familiar beardless youth in the 5th century BCE. Zoroaster, the ancient founder of Zoroastrianism, is almost always depicted with a beard. In Norse mythology, Thor, the god of thunder, is portrayed wearing a red beard. Iconography and art dating from the 4th century onward almost always portray Jesus with a beard. In paintings and statues, most of the Old Testament biblical characters such as Moses and Abraham and Jesus' New Testament disciples, such as Saint Peter, appear with beards, as does John the Baptist. However, Western European art generally depicts John the Apostle as clean-shaven to emphasize his relative youth. 8 of the figures portrayed in the painting entitled The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci are bearded. Mainstream Christianity holds Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 as a prophecy of Christ's crucifixion, and as such, as a description of Christ having his beard plucked by his tormentors. In Eastern Christianity, members of the priesthood and monastics often wear beards, and religious authorities at times have recommended or required beards for all male believers. Traditionally, Syrian Christians from Kerala wear long beards. Some view it as a necessity for men in the Malayali Syrian Christian community because icons of Christ and the saints with beards were depicted from the 3rd century CE. Syrian Christian priests and monastics are obliged to wear beards. In various times in its history and depending on various circumstances, the Catholic Church in the West permitted or prohibited facial hair for clergy. A decree of the beginning of the 6th century in either Carthage or the south of Gaul forbade clerics to let their hair and beards grow freely. The phrase, nourishing a beard, was interpreted in different ways, either as imposing a clean-shaven face or only excluding a too lengthy beard. In relatively modern times, the first pope to wear a beard was Pope Julius II, who in 1511 to 1512 did so for a while as a sign of mourning for the loss of the city of Bologna. Pope Clement VII let his beard grow at the time of the sack of Rome, 1527, and kept it. All his successors did so until the death in 1700 of Pope Innocent XII. Since then, no pope has worn a beard. In about 1240, Alberic of Troisfontaine described the Knights Templar as an order of bearded brethren, and on the eve of the suppression of the order in 1312, out of nearly 230 knights and brothers questioned by the papal commissioners in Paris, 76 are described as wearing a beard, in some cases specified as in the style of the Templars, while another 133 are reported to have shaved their beards, either in renunciation of their vows or in a bid to escape detection. Randall Holm, writing in 1688, associated beards with Templars, Teutonic Knights, Austin Friars, and Gregorians. But Capuchins and some others are bearded. Present canon law is silent on the matter. Although most Protestant Christians regard the beard as a matter of choice, some have taken the lead in fashion by openly encouraging its growth as a habit most natural, scriptural, manly, and beneficial. Amish and Hutterite men shave until they marry, then grow a beard and are never thereafter without one, although it is a particular form of a beard. Some Messianic Jews also wear beards to show their observance of the Old Testament. Diarmaid MacCulloch, professor of history of the church at University of Oxford, writes, "There is no doubt that Cranmer mourned the dead king, Henry VIII, and it was said that he showed his grief by growing a beard. However, MacCulloch also states that during the Reformation era, many Protestant reformers decided to grow their beards in order to emphasize their break with the Catholic tradition. It was a break from the past for a clergyman to abandon his clean-shaven appearance, which was the norm for late medieval priesthood, with Luther providing a precedent during his exile period. Virtually all the continental reformers had deliberately grown beards as a mark of their rejection of the old church, and the significance of clerical beards as an aggressive anti-Catholic gesture was well recognized in mid-Tudor England. Since the mid-20th century, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS Church, has encouraged men to be clean-shaven, particularly those that serve in ecclesiastical leadership positions. The Church's encouragement of men's shaving has no theological basis, but stems from the general waning of facial hair's popularity in Western society during the 20th century, and its association with the hippie and drug culture aspects of the counterculture of the 1960s, and has not been a permanent rule. After Joseph Smith, many of the early presidents of the LDS Church, such as Brigham Young and Lorenzo Snow, wore large beards. Since David O. McKay became church president in 1951, most LDS church leaders have been clean-shaven. The church maintains no formal policy on facial hair for its general membership. However, formal prohibitions against facial hair are currently enforced for young men, providing 2-year missionary service. Students and staff of the church-sponsored higher education institutions, such as Brigham Young University, BYU, are required to adhere to the Church Educational System Honor Code, which states in part, men are expected to be clean-shaven, beards are not acceptable, although male BYU students are permitted to wear a neatly groomed mustache. A beard exemption is granted for serious skin conditions and for approved theatrical performance, but until 2015, no exemption was given for any other reason, including religious convictions. In January 2015, BYU clarified that students who wanted a beard for religious reasons, like Muslims or Sikhs, may be granted permission after applying for an exemption. Hinduism. The ancient Hindu texts regarding beards depend on the Vedas and other teachings, varying according to whom the devotee worships or follows. Many sadhus, yogis, or yoga practitioners keep beards in all stages of life. Shaivite ascetics generally have beards, as they are not permitted to own anything, which would include a razor. The beard is also a sign of nomadic and ascetic lifestyle. Vaishnava men, typically of the ISKCON sect, are often clean-shaven as a sign of cleanliness. Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Sikh guru, commanded the Sikhs to maintain unshorn hair, recognizing it as a necessary adornment of the body as well as a mandatory article of faith. Sikhs considered the beard to be a part of the nobility and dignity of their manhood. Sikhs also refrained from cutting their hair and beards out of respect for the God-given form. Kesh, uncut hair, is one of the 5 Ks, 5 compulsory articles of faith for a baptized Sikh. As such, a Sikh man is easily identified by its turban and uncut hair and beard. In the Quran, Aaron is said to have had a beard, chapter 20, verse 94. Muhammad sported a thick beard along with long head hair that reached his shoulders. In Sunni Islamic jurisprudence, there are 3 verdicts of the beard according to Islamic tradition. The first verdict is that growing the beard is obligatory and that shaving it is haram, forbidden. The second opinion, which is the official position of the Shafi'i school of thought, the beard is only mandub, recommended, and shaving the beard is only disliked, makruh, but not haram, forbidden. The third opinion, which is among contemporary scholars, is that the beard is permissible and that shaving is also permissible. The extent of the beard is from the cheekbones, level with the channel of the ears, until the bottom of the face. It includes the hair that grows on the cheeks. Hair on the neck is not considered a part of the beard and can be removed, according to the first opinion, which says that it is obligatory.